This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
If I can ask the guys to stand quickly, I'm going to just introduce them. I wanted to introduce them, you know, one by one, but then I'll be here the whole day. And as I was busy thinking about it, I realized these four guys have two things in common. Okay, so Thomas, please can you stand, Pilani, and then the two guys at the back, Derek and Ranir, they are the guys that are going to share with us today. you can see they look like preachers, right? Oh. Okay, so the two things they have in common is the first, they're all servants. Okay, they always serve. They're always in the background serving and fixing stuff and helping out and praying for the church and for the leaders. And I can really commend these guys, they are servants. And then the second thing that they have in common is that they all love righteousness. You know, they all love the things need to be right. And they stand for what is right and they fight for what is right. And I actually just want to give this word to all guys, all of you. You're not only going to see what's wrong and have a desire for what is right, but you're going to fight for it. And I'm looking forward to see what God's going to do in your lives and through your lives to bring righteousness, you know, for those who are really needing or needed or whatever the words are. Okay, good. So that's Pilani. Then we have Ranir. He's going to be first. Thomas is going to be second. Pilani third. And then Derek will be fourth. And then I'll end it off for us. So guys, Pilani, Thomas, and Derek, I'm going to send you out. Let's just all close our eyes and just thank the Lord for this word. Father, we thank you for who you are. We acknowledge that you are with us this morning. We acknowledge that you have a word for us, and I pray for these guys. Thank you that you speak through them. Thank you for blessing us with such wonderful people. And I pray, Lord, as we're all sitting here and hungry for you, that we will open our hearts. And thank you that you speak to each one of us the word that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Mirichen. Hi, everyone. So, when I was meditating on this topic the last week or two, The Lord actually reminded me of a story, oddly enough, in my high school days, about 10 or 11 years ago, where one of our mates, let's just call him Wesley, who I do hope doesn't listen to this recording one day, and he was actually really a nice guy, 40, smart, good-looking brother, but for some reason, he just didn't really hang out in the lady crowds that much, if I can call it that, because as a matric dance, or the homecoming, as Americans called it, approached, he didn't have a date yet. Now it's kind of options are getting less and less, and it's the week now leading up to the matric dance. But Wesley had a plan. He was going to ask this completely random grade 11 girl he hasn't spoken a word to in his entire life. And the girls were coming out of class, heading that way for lunch, and Wesley strategically positioned himself on a wall over there. This is where our dining hall is, and all of us, the guys, are coming out of res from this side. And obviously the first guy asked whoever was there first, what's he doing? Oh, he's doing that. And before you know it, there's a crowd gathering, which Wesley didn't want. And it was not long. I mean, it's now 70 to 100 guys that have now gathered here. And I mean, it's high school teenagers. What do you expect? And the Mexican wave is going. And it's a fetch vuvuzelas. And they're spelling out their name with their bodies. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And Wesley, I can see he just wants the rapture to come because he doesn't want this anymore. But along trots this unsuspecting victim, and then Wesley pounced, and it just gets awkward. I cringe when I think of these things. I'm not going to tell the rest of the story, but it gets super awkward times 10, but Wesley got himself a date, and he did actually enjoy the evening in the end. But the point of this story was that while I pondered it, and I laughed to myself as well, I realized that in that moment, there's nothing that Wesley wanted more than for the matric dance to be over, for it to be finished, so he can go home and just forget about it. He wanted nothing to do with it. And in many ways, I think that I am like Wesley, in the sense that there are nice and good things that the Lord has prepared for us, and he's spoken it to us, but we just kind of, we want to rush through it. We make deserts out of things that are not deserts, or maybe they're supposed to be deserts, but we just want to get past it. So in my personal life, for instance, I am extremely frustrated and demotivated in my career at the moment. And the Lord has given me words about places where I need to go and things I need to do, but I'm not quite there yet. And he's also spoken to me, things that I'm somewhat ignoring, about things that we need to work through in 2018 and 2019. I've effectively a desert. And there are times when I just wish this desert away. And I just like Wesley, I want nothing to do with this, and I just want to get there. And I don't know if that, you know, resonates with anyone, and maybe you have something similar. It might have been your career. It can be an area of finances that you want to head to, an emotional state, a physical state, a spiritual state. A classic example is obviously relationships. You know, when am I going to get a girlfriend, boyfriend? When am I going to get married? When am I going to have children? When am I going to have grandchildren? When are the children going to be out of my pocket? It just keeps going. There's always this thing. And by no means is it necessarily bad, but often it's amazing. And it's intended from the Lord, and it's been promised to us, and it's desires in our heart. But we're so focused there, which is also fine. I mean, we can speak life into that thing. We can head that way. We can offer strategy on how to get there. But we just miss this moment and what the Lord wants to do right here in this. So an example I found, even you could put up the first verse there in the Bible, is effectively when Israel was still in slavery in Egypt under Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's getting more strict by the day. It's not lekker. And the Lord has previously promised the promised land to them. He just reaffirms this through Moses to the people in Exodus in the following. He says, I will bring into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. In that moment, the people didn't actually weren't very amped to hear it, didn't receive it as well. But the Lord was faithful. He took them out of Egypt, and I placed them in the desert, and they were heading to the promised land that has been repeatedly promised to them. So obviously, Chatons, here we go. We're on our way. But not that quickly, unfortunately. There were things that needed to change in their heart first. The Lord needed to work with them with regards to faithfulness, with regards to obedience, with regards to humbleness that they needed to enter the promised land. Because they weren't just going to fall into the promised land. They needed to conquer it, take it by force. And those things needed to change. And the short of the long is, as some of you may know, just about an entire generation fell away because of their disobedience and had to do an extra few laps here in the desert. But eventually they get to the border of the promised land. And Moses is now giving, you can call it this, just about his retirement speech. He's 120 years old, and he's about to hand over his mantle to Joshua, who's going to take them into the promised land. And he says the following, reflecting on the past 40 years in the desert, speaking to the people in Deuteronomy. Says the following, and the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man doesn't live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And there's quite a bit in there, but I think just kind of summarize it up. I think Moses is saying, yes, there was some unfamiliarity. There were some not nice times. It wasn't with lacquer, but it was necessary. And there was a purpose in this desert. It wasn't just for nothing. It was worth it. And we've reached it now, and we can go to the next step. And in your lives, I do not know what it necessarily might be for you and what that thing is. I do not pretend to understand your desert and the difficulties that it is. I probably will never understand the difficulties and the pain that you might be going through in that. But just my prayer today is that we will not believe some lie that Jesus is somehow only there in that distant future, that home that we are heading for. He is here as tangibly as what he is there. And yes, sometimes you might feel a bit further away. Some of those things might be years away, and some of them we might reach that home today. I do not know. And I also just pray that whatever those things are, that we will open our spiritual eyes, our ears, and our hearts to receive what the Lord wants to do in us in this time while we are here. Okay, thank you. Over to Thomas.
That was quick. It felt like 7 minutes was nothing. Okay, before I start, I just wanted to share a testimony. I think it's going to be a few seconds. A few years back, I felt like I was lost, you know, kind of lost. I wasn't directed by the Holy Spirit, of course. You know, that's the only time that you really get astray. And I really struggled in that moment, and something popped in my mind, like, I'm sure God was talking to me. Why don't you come back to me? You know, and in that moment, I started looking for a church, you know. I said, okay, fine. I really need a family, because I believe that I couldn't do it alone, you know, because it's always important to come together as a family, to pray together. You always need that those people in your life, whereby you share the gospel, you encourage one another and stuff like that. So that turnaround was so significant in my life, and it has impacted my life since. And I just want to encourage us, you know, if you're in a very similar positions, I think you should just come back to God. That's why I called my sermon, God is calling us to himself. God is constantly, every single day, every minute, every hour, every minute, and every second, is calling us to himself. So, we have seen that in the Bible, where the Bible says, I think we're all familiar with the scripture. They say, God so loved the world, he sent his only son to die for our sins. So it means a lot. It means that he wants to partner with us again. You know, he wants a covenant with us again. So for me, that was something that like really stood out. And it might be something that you hear people talking about it. But if you really surrender your life in Christ, in a sense whereby walking in his righteousness, you know, God will direct you the way he wants to direct you. And when you partner with him, you know, doing that he has commanded you to do, trust me, you see a lot of changes in your life. And even people, they will start asking questions like, you know, is that guy real? Is that guy really, you know? Of course, you know, there will be people, they will criticize you. They will criticize whatever you're doing. They will talk about so many things. So my message for today is, you know, I want to talk about coming home. I want to illustrate it as our heart. You know, our hearts. God is calling us for himself. I'm going to read Luke. I don't know if, Stephen, I don't know if you do have it. Thanks, man. I always sit there, eh? For those who don't know me. Okay, I'm going to read Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside a road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Okay, I'm going to just stop there because my time is running out. Yeah, I wish I could put my stuff here so I can see if it's accurate. So what I'm trying to say here is, Jesus, you know, who is our God, is constantly calling us home. He's calling us home, and when it comes to, you know, to have dinner in our house, you know, of course, if you go through the scripture, if you go down, you see people, they were saying, why is he going to the house of the sinner? Because that guy, he looked like a bad person. And the Bible says he was a worthy guy. So of course, you know, as a tax collector at that time, if you go through the history, you realize that they were doing the bad things as well. And people, they pointed out, oh, that guy is a sinner. And they're looking at the king, a king of this earth. The king that, the God that's created us, is going to that guy's house and to be his guest. That means a lot. So it's the same applies in our lives, you know. When Jesus walked in our lives, trust me, people, they talk a lot. People, when they see that alterance, that change, that shift in our lives, trust me, people, they will always criticize. You know, some people, perhaps, they don't know why you made a change. They will always criticize. They always talk, you know. But my message for today is God is calling us for himself. We need to change our ways. And we should also be aware that the devil is there, is a father of lies. He always tried to track us with his tricks because he's a father of lies. That's what the Bible called him. You know, when you make that shift, don't look right and left. Just focus, because God is calling us home. Amen.
Greetings. I'll try to speak. But I'll make it a point that you guys get the message, because I'm also excited about the message. I remember when Marichen told me about the series, Homecoming, Returning Home. I thought of the Israelites when they're going to the Promised Land. And then I was thinking of the things that we can pick from them, or the mistakes or the sins that they committed, which we're not supposed to fall for the very same mistakes. And which is one of them, complaining and not trusting God. It's one of the things that they did. So as we also are returning home, we should learn from that we don't complain, we keep on trusting God, because that's a sin, and it's one of the things that might delay us, as they also delay, because it took them 40 years to get to the Promised Land, and the way things are in this age, we really want to get home. Things are very hectic. We want to get home as soon as possible. So we shouldn't delay ourselves. And another thing, they were also complaining about food. There was a point where they even compare like kind of remembering back. Say if we were back in Egypt, it was better in Egypt because there was food. Now we are hungry here. And I just pray for all of us, even myself. Just to be helped by the Holy Spirit, not to think back on the captivity from the enemy, because we once been kept by the enemy. So now we are free. We're going back home. So, and we shouldn't say it was better while we were under an enemy's power, because that's some point. Other people, which I also believe that it is just the enemy who deceives us along the way, to make us think that it's better to be away from home, or it's better to be under the enemy than being at home. Many things. Because another also interesting thing, there was 12 spies that was sent to check the land and also claim it. But it was funny because 10 of them, on their way back, they brought a negative report. They said, guys, it's not possible for us to get that, the Promised Land. It's impossible for us that we're going to get the Promised Land. And just think of it. The Lord, the mighty God, said, this is the land I promise you. But them, they went there, and with their thinking, And the way of looking things, they come back, they said, no, there's no way we can get that land. And it happens even to us. God promised us, a lot of us, we have the promises that God promised us. But when we think, on our way of thinking, we think it's not possible. And even myself, there was a point when I was chatting with my wife, and I was telling Nobile that if I look my life back and look now, if God, by back, In that time, if God once told me that by that time I'll be married, I'll be born again, I was gonna say, Lord, no, you're kidding me. I'll be married. I'll be born again. You know, but God is faithful. It's also very important to trust God. But it's only the Holy Spirit who can help us, because even the Word said the very same thing, that we cannot please God, we cannot know God without by the help of the Holy Spirit. And last week I was thinking that for us as a congregation, for not recognizing the Holy Spirit, we are the same as the Pharisees, because the Pharisees did the very same thing. They didn't recognize Jesus, but they know the Scripture, You know, so we can also fall into that kind of mistake, like going to church, saving, doing all of those things, but only to find that we're not pleasing God, you know, because it's only the Holy Spirit who can help us to please God, you know. But it also, the Holy Spirit can help us to understand even our Father's heart, you know, in which also can help us again in our way as we're returning back home. To know our Father's heart, not to be deceived, because the enemy will deceive us. If you can think of the enemy, that definitely the enemy, he sees that my people, because he says that, my people now are going back. So what can I do to block them or to distract them so that they won't reach home, you know? So, but it's only the Holy Spirit who can reveal to us and also to help us to identify lies from the enemy. So I just pray for all of us, even myself, not to be deceived by the enemy, but also to listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the only one who can help us. And it's also, it's a privilege for us, because the Holy Spirit is with us everywhere you go. Even when you're driving, the Holy Spirit is just here. You just need to start a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Just get to know the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows you, and he tries every day to talk to you. So it's just that. Otherwise, we won't be able to get home. So, yeah. I have 1 minute. So I don't know. Let me pray quickly, because I have 1 minute left. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for loving us. I thank you even for your people, because you know them, Lord. I had another message, but you, God, you just spoke to your people because you know what they want. So I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, for loving me, for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for a provision. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Okay, morning, everyone. Right. When looking at the theme of homecoming, the first thing that went through my mind was that basically I was thinking of going back home. I was thinking that home is the place and the time in your life where you actually when you are formed and where you grow up and where your parents teach you things. Your upbringing might be a positive or a negative experience, but yet again, that's home. That's where the influence on your life at the early stage was laid down. So I was fortunate enough to have my home for 32 years in the same town, in the same house. That has changed now. Okay, so but homecoming in a biblical sense, that is coming back to God's plan for our lives, and God formed us in His presence while we were in our mother's womb, and He laid the entire course of our life out even before we were born. So and then He planned every detail very, very, very carefully. Now, just the scripture. Okay, just go to the next one. Okay, Psalm 139, verse 16. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Okay, so that's a scripture that just describes how God has formed you before you were even born. So coming home then is then coming into God's presence and focusing on God. But what we've done is we however became so dependent on the things of the world, in the ways we're thinking, and we tended to go to a place where we use worldly opinions and what is humanly possible to judge situations, and then we forgot that God's word says that in Philippians 4 verse 13, which is not, it's not on the screen, but it said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Even though our life path has been laid out, we still make our own decisions. But then also in that, we leave God out of the equation. And can we just get the next scripture? Okay, so that's James 4 verse 13. Come now you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. So we devise our own plans, we make our own plans, and we don't consult God in it. But whereas God has laid out our entire life, he knows what's best for us, we can use us best. So so we also started using the world as a measuring tool to see where we stand in life with God. We look at how other people do things, and then we say, okay, are we in good standing with God or not? Okay, and then in terms of relationship, so that's basic. So we use the world as a measuring stick for that. But then coming home means to have relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Standing in relationship with God is such an intimate place that we consult God in everything we do, in every decision we make, in every thing that we need understanding on. And then this comes from the scripture in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, and that this shows just that he desires relationship with us, true relationship, and that's trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And then you can just get the next scripture, please. Philippians 4, verse 19. Okay, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So if we just trust in the Lord, he supplies in all our needs, in everything we need. And just but we need to have a relationship with him and know him in everything we do and what in which we need to decide. Okay, so in a similar way, closeness to God can be seen as coming home. That is when we walked in God's precepts and his principles of how we conduct our daily lives. So he's even given us a book, the Bible, to give us a direction on how we need to conduct our lives and to be able to work for him to work his plan the best in our lives. Then if we walk with but he has given us the Holy Spirit to direct our paths when he died on the cross for us. But if we walk in tune with the Holy Spirit, then we'll rest in God's peace. So the next scripture is John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. All right. So the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, which meaning all is well in one's life, even in the midst of severe persecution or extreme and great turmoil and tribulation. So you might be in a very rough time in your life, but still you've got that peace. I've got 1 minute left. So one of the basic things that is our speech. One of the things that I think that we sometimes get wrong is so what we speak with our mouth gets established. So it's not just meaningless words. Whatever we say becomes established. So God says, God's word says that life and death is in the tongue, and we can get it from the scripture in Proverbs 18, verse 20 to 21. From the fruit of man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So we need to constantly focus on God, on his plan for our lives. And it's written in his word, his will for our life, his promises, what abilities he gives us through using the power that he gives us, and then he empowers us. So we sometimes forget who God is in our lives. But who is he? Okay, now I need to stop. I'm just going to finish this. Okay, so he is the Most High, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. He is the great I Am. He's independent of time. He's independent of this world. And he's the creator of the universe. So he's in ultimate control. Should I finish? People are connected to the Father really desires strong relationship with us in such a way that he gave his only son for us. And the thing is, God does not need us. He created us, but he does not need us. He's independent, but he created us because out of love, so that he can just show and display his glory. So God wants us to already experience some of his fullness on earth today. So God's word is truth, and his truth supersedes any situation that we are in. So if we speak God's word over a situation, then it cancels out that situation. He just gives us hope. And Matthew 12, verse 21, almost finished, guys. Okay, in his name, the nations will put their hope. So God is our hope. He is our home, and he's our strong tower. He will always be there for us. He's the only one in which we can put our trust. And in just this last one, Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. So that's just to get back what our speech is, or what we speak, is the scripture means giving voice to God's word. And now, who's giving voice to God's word? It's us. We do that. So every time we speak God's word to give voice to it, God's angels, when they hear it, they respond. So I just want to end off by saying thank you for the extra time. May this be a year for you all of homecoming in each of our lives, and we would just go back to the basics, which is actually my theme for the sermon. Back to the basics. Let's just reset and focus on God. Thank you, guys.
I love it how my husband can just like wink and then he gets more time. He used to dwell there. Now you know what he does at home as well. Like, I'm just going to keep on doing that. That was just amazing. I don't know about you, but I just saw God had a thread through all of that. And he really spoke to us. And I want to end off for us. I had a dream about 2 years ago. It was some other competition. And the other team, after we beat them, but that was not part of the story, but they said, okay, we have one guy here who has a really big problem, and will you come and help? And I said, okay, well, it's the other team, but I will go help. And I sat next to this guy, and I said, what's wrong? And he said to me, no, he wants to commit suicide. He's tired of living. And I was shocked, and I'm sitting there thinking, how can I help this guy? And I asked him, why? Why do you want to commit suicide? And he said to me, because I've never experienced the presence of God. And that hit me. And after that, I woke up. And when I woke up, I'm thinking, what does this mean? And I started praying about it and asking God, what are you saying to me? Is this guy, at first I thought maybe this guy is just looking for the feeling, you know, like God's presence. Because these days people, you know, they just want to feel like God is there or something. What is up with this guy? And I couldn't get to an answer. I asked many friends and we prayed about it. Lord, what are you saying to us through this dream? And the one evening we were worshiping there by the beach, our small group. And afterwards I felt God said, share the dream with the people. And I don't know if you sometimes do that, but I told God, but I don't have the interpretation, so I can't share the dream. And again, I felt the Holy Spirit just leading me and saying, share the dream. And I was sitting there and I started sharing the dream, and I said, this guy wanted to commit suicide because he's never experienced the presence of God. And as I said that, I just started to interpret the dream. So I just started saying what God was speaking to us about through this dream. And I was shocked because that's the first time I also heard it. And I just felt the Lord saying, I want my people to experience my presence. I want my people to know me. I want my people to come back to me. I want them to know that they are loved. I want them to know that they are cared for. I want them to know that I am present in every single circumstance, in every situation in their lives. And that is exactly what we heard this morning. We heard that some of us are walking through deserts, and it feels like we want to go back. We heard that we're speaking out of our mouths, complaining, like Pilane said, like Derek said, that we're speaking bad stuff. We hear that some people are criticizing us for following Jesus. Some of us are really going through difficult stuff. We heard this morning that the enemy is real. If you didn't know that, it's true. The enemy is real and he's coming at us. But do you know what? As Derek proclaimed at the end, that Jesus is above everything. And for us to come today and say, Lord, we're returning to you. We're returning to your presence, to know you, to seek you with all our hearts. The things will come, but Jesus will be victorious above all of that. I know there's some people here today that is desperate need for Jesus. You've maybe been running around and busy with other stuff, but God is telling us today as individuals, but also as a house of God, to come back to him. And how are we going to do that? We're going to trust the Holy Spirit. We're going to trust the Holy Spirit to lead us and show us and help us. Because why? We can't do it. My motto in life is I can't, but Jesus can. And therefore I can. So today, as we hear, don't you just want to close your eyes? I'm going to pray for us, but I know there's some people here that need specific prayer today. If you are that person and you know that today you need to come back to Jesus, you need to come back to that place where you almost feel like that guy that said, you know what, I want to give up on life because I've never experienced God's presence. God is saying today, I see you. I see your heart's desires, I see your cares, I see your questions, and things doesn't make sense now. But if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. If you're that person that's just, you don't know where you're at, I'm not going to call anyone to the front or anything like that. I just want you to indicate to me, you can just look at me quickly. You don't even have to raise your hand, just look at me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I just want to pray for you because I know God is speaking to us today, to all of our hearts. And he has a word for us. And I want to encourage you and say that Jesus knows. And Jesus has sent you here today to hear his word and his truth. And Jesus is the one who comes and brings freedom. This morning while we were praying, interceding for our church service this morning, there was a word that stood out and it was the following. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, Father, we come to you this morning, and we are in awe of your word. Lord, we are in awe that you speak through so many different people the same word because you care for us, and you love us, and you see our circumstances, and you see what we're going through. And today, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for always being there for us. Thank you for always calling us back to you. Father, I especially want to pray for people that today just want to give up on life because they don't even know if you are real. Lord, they've never experienced it, or they just, it's a long time since they've experienced your presence. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are the one that surrounds them this morning. You are the one that strengthens them. Holy Spirit, you are the one that speaks hope and life into the heart. And in the name of Jesus, I want to break every lie and deception and things that have been spoken over us. And we say it will fall to the ground in Jesus' name. And today we speak life. Thank you, Lord, for life that comes and it's breathed into us, Lord, and it brings newness into us. Thank you, Lord, for people just being set free today by your word and by your truth. For you are the one who saves, Lord. You are the one who redeems. You are the one who gives life.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.